Recognizing the person whom you are to share the future with is very important. It's important that you don't wear the wrong shoe, that you don't pick somebody else's rib. You don't need spare ribs. You only need the right rib, and it will fit. So I'm praying with you that God will send you the right rib, the person of his ordination, the person of his purpose. As many of you as desire marriage, that God's counsel will stand in your life,
amen.
That the will of God will be done in your life.
Amen.
It is absolutely important for us to know how to recognize this right person and how to be able to connect with the right person at the right time. We've seen some things about recognizing. We said your life partner is the only right person to connect you to your destiny. There are certain characteristics which you have already come up in your spirit about your life partner. Write them down, read them, run with the vision. Your life partner will be a person who is compatible with the goal of your life. This person is not there to hinder. The person chosen to be your partner will be there to help you get to your goal fast. They help to unlock your dream, make your dream happen. You will need some degree of self-recognition before you can be recognized. If you do not have a good self-value, you will not be able to receive love from other people. You see, love is give and take. If you come from a background where you don't know how to receive or give love, you will have difficulty. So self-recognition is the ability to value yourself. Let me tell you one of the reasons for self-recognition. If you don't have a sense of self-recognition, you will be like one of those people in the don't date devil category, which is Mr. Controller or Mr. Possessive. The possessive or is either a man or a woman. And when we get to it, you'll be surprised. Some people are so possessive that even when they get married, you can't greet their spouse, particularly if you are single. If you go to their spouse and you say, ah, hello, brother, so-and-so, and the discussion is more than 2 minutes, there will be World War 17 going on. Whereas if you have a sense of self-value, you don't fall apart every time your husband or your wife talks to the opposite sex, because you are confident in whom God says you are. You are confident and you have a sense of self-value. Also, a sense of self-value doesn't make you to throw your guards down after marriage. I'm sure you've observed some people. It was like they were doing everything to get married. They dress well, they look well. After the marriage, they put Saturday on top of Sunday. They slap everything together. They look like a riot going on because the suit does not agree with the trouser. The shoe does not agree with the... Nothing agrees together. But when you have self-recognition, you didn't do it because you want to get married. You value who you are. You took care of yourself. You bathed the body. You shined the body. You put cream on the body. You use the cologne you were supposed to use. Who says Christians shouldn't use cologne? I am still surprised that some people have another kind of cologne. We shall not go too far into that one. So let's stay in recognizing this person who is the will of God for your life. The next, we said, the recognition of your future partner will come in the fact that the love you have for them is void of fear. People are sometimes caught in the fear of losing the person or being hurt in the future. If this person is your life's partner and you have a sense of self-recognition, you will not be afraid of losing them.
Amen.
It will be a kind of love and a kind of confidence that is void of fear, because you know that this person is the will of God for your life. In other words, the water you are supposed to drink will never pass you by if you go to a river. The right one will come into your life. The right person will come into your life. However, if you are hasty and you are so afraid, you become possessive and protective, And you begin to say, oh, if I don't agree, if I don't do this, if I don't do that, I might miss this person. You have forgotten the fact that you are born again. You are a child of God. You are in the center of God's will. And if you are in the center of his will, he watches over you. He cares for you. You matter to him. You are on his heart. No evil will befall you, and no danger will come near your dwelling place. That is the promise of God to you. And because that promise has been made and God is committed to you, then you must recognize that he will uphold you by his mighty power. Amen. Amen. So you've got to know how to know the will of God is that whatever love you have is void of fear. Your partner of the future will bring a blessing which you will miss if you were single. There is a benefit to being single, but the way to recognize your future partner is that they give you the joy of completion. They give you the joy of completion. They bring a completion to your life which no one else can bring. They bring a fulfillment to your life which no one else can bring. They bring a certain peace which no one else can bring. You feel complete by meeting the person. The void is filled. The void is filled when you meet the person. The next one, of course, the next way to know your partner of the future is that they never remain the way you met them. They get better daily and confirm your conviction in marriage. The path of a just man shines unto a brighter day. When you meet the right person for your life, they are making effort to become better every day, growing spiritually, growing in the vision you both share. If you meet a person who have no time to add to their own value, they will not add to your value. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. I don't like anyone being around me whom my life does not increase. I like my staff to be better than before they joined us. I like everyone around me for something to be working for them, their home to be working. If you, for example, are a staff of KICC, it doesn't take long. If you walk into my room, I don't like to ask you questions about the last work you did. I want to know about your children. I want to know about your life. I want to know things about you. Within 5 minutes of me meeting people, I love to ask them so many questions. I can tell you so much about them. Why? Because I want to look for ways to add to their life. It is important for you to relate, to walk with people who add to your life. Are you listening? People who walk and do things to add to your life. Now, when you meet a person with whom you will share a life, they need to be bringing something to the table. If they're not bringing anything to the table, this is my most favorite illustration. I'm sure you've seen me do it many times. If they're not bringing anything to the table, you will be loving without being loved. You'll keep giving and keep giving and keep giving, and they don't give. Look how much they have compared to you. But they still want what you have, and they still want what you have, and still want what you have, until one day you have nothing to give anymore. Then they throw you away, they look for another one. And they do the same thing to that one also. You have been loving without being loved. And many relationships are like this. Some men come from a background where they don't know how to give love. They don't know how to show affection. They don't know how to hug their children because their dad never hugged them. Dad never said, I love you. Of course, men don't find it easy to show emotion all the time, but there should be something. Even if it is play rough play with the boy and hit one another on the back and, you know, somebody being home, it gives the man or the boy the value. It gives the girl a sense of value so that when she goes out there, she has something to share. So you've got to recognize that one of the ways to know the will of God is a person who's bringing something to the table. Not you bringing everything, but someone who's bringing something to the table. they have value they bring to the table. Amen. Another way to recognize whom God has sent to your life is that they celebrate and value who you are without trying to make you who they want you to be. The interesting thing about men and women is that men like women to remain the same, women like men to change. So whenever there's an argument in a marriage, the woman keeps saying, you're always the same, you have not changed. But the man keeps saying to the woman, please, I want you to remain the same size. Don't change, please. I'm begging you, please. But it's not possible. It is not possible because a woman by nature is an incubator. You give a woman, you see, the woman's body has more layers of fat when she gets to be pregnant, to insulate the baby and protect the baby from disease and to create heat and warmth around the baby. After the baby has been born, it's not easy to shed off what was gained at the time. Some people easily because of their body metabolism. It depends on the person's body metabolism. Body metabolisms differ from person to person. Some people can eat a horse and they're still like a broomstick. And you're wondering where the food went. And some people, two slices of bread, and they're in trouble. That's why you must know your own body. You get what I'm saying now? Know your own body, know what your body wants. I must not eat a Big Mac. Just one Big Mac. And the next week, my cheeks will be twice the size. Maybe you didn't know that in one Big Mac, you have 36 jacket potatoes. It's the same equivalent. 56 bowls of cereal. One Big Mac. So that's why we go. I'm spoiling all your favorite meals, isn't it? The thing about Big Mac, though, is that it's very tasty, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, all tasty things also have their result. Or. So, the way to recognize this person is that they are not trying to make you what they want you to be. They will accept you for who you are. Please, if you meet the man and he says, I want a woman who will be my mother, tell him. It's a big job being a wife, a mother to his children, let alone again come and be his mother. That's one of the characters we look at, the eternal child. Some men or women are eternal children. They never grow up. They refuse to grow up. So when you sit down with them in counsel, you can tell one man has a vision. He wants to do great things in life, but his wife lives in this twilight zone. She doesn't live in the world of reality. Have you seen some of those ladies who, when you see them, it's like they're still in the, they're still schoolgirls, still packing their hair a certain way. Lord Jesus, have mercy now. One of the greatest music artists out of Africa died last week. Her stage dress is always a schoolgirl dress, and she's 56. That's an eternal child. Unfortunately, died of, she's such a cocaine addict, she died of cocaine that was laced with rat poison. Every time you see her, she's in schoolgirl skirt, and is it pinafore they call that? Schoolgirl pinafore, and the hair, That's how she comes to the stage to sing. Some people are just not trying to be whom God wants them to be. Your spouse of the future has points of differences, yet values certain things which you hold similar. There are points of differences, but they value the things which you hold similarly. In other words, men and women are attracted for two things: their points of similarity and their points of differences. Never forget that. Never forget that. Because oftentimes when people get married and they find that they have points of differences, and the points of differences are becoming more apparent in the early years of their marriage, they say, this marriage can't work. We are just not compatible. Incompatibility is not a reason for a marriage to end. It just means you are being you and I am being me. But many do not realize that it's that very thing that attracted them. Whoever you are ever attracted to, you will find that there are things for which you are similar. You probably love the same thing, the same outdoor games, visiting the same place. But there are things for which you are so different. It's amazing. Opposites always attract. Men who are choleric, tough, strong, leading, always want to act, do things, tend to marry women who are melancholic, phlegmatic. The melancholic person is a very loving person, loves nature, loves music, very poetic, can write music, can write poems, loves to describe things and loves to appreciate. They can decorate, they're very neat. They love to put things together. When you come to where a melancholic person is, things are very sedate and quiet. The music they like is the one that can send you to sleep if you are tired, you know what I'm saying? But they have their weakness. Melancholics are critics. Their tongue, just one word, sharp. Whereas the choleric man is a leader, he's a winner, he's an achiever, he makes things happen, he goes for it, he's not afraid. Where others pull back, he dares. Where angels are afraid, he goes in. But cholerics also have weakness. They don't give attention to detail. They have a helicopter view of life. They see from the top all the things that should be done, but they don't remember that toothpaste is needed in the house. They don't remember little things. The electric bulb is gone off in the toilet. They know how to navigate through the toilet. They don't bother to look for, to buy another electric bulb. Am I describing some people here today? So we are attracted to people for the things for which we're similar and the things for which we're different. You've got to establish that, or else it is actually the point of difference that makes people to begin to now quarrel. I say, why are we so different? In fact, if a woman who is a choleric woman, an extrovert, marries, she tends to marry a phlegmatic man, happy-go-lucky, no sweat, no struggle. What to do? Not what to do now, but what to do? You know. She says, darling, you need to register the children at school. He says, don't worry. He doesn't do it until the day before. Have you registered the children? He says, well, there's always a late entry, isn't it? And she says, have you done it? Don't worry, it's at the back of my mind. Yeah. Yeah. While the choleric woman is always boom, 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 all over the place and makes a lot of mistakes, the phlegmatic man doesn't make much mistakes. Well, because he doesn't take any decision. jokes apart, because he is very slow before he takes his decision, he takes the time to calculate. They make good accountants. They calculate, they analyze. They are very good at analysis. It's just that sometimes their analysis results in paralysis. But somehow, it's just God's way, and shall I also say nature's way. It throws opposite people. We are just like electricity. You need the positive and the negative. We're just like that. You don't put two magnets together. What happens? They repel each other. Two magnets never come together. If you try as hard to bring them together, they push away. That's why you find, if you have a choleric woman in this house, you bring another choleric, you just give them 5 minutes. You just see the house on fire. Once you hear one lady say, I can't stand that woman, they are the same. That's the reason. So in marriage, we are attracted to people who are different from us. Please don't forget this teaching. When the day comes and after you say, I do, and you begin to find such strong points of differences, it's not the time to throw in the towel and begin to throw the D word around your house. There are three D words. It's either departure, dividing, or divorcing. Some don't divorce, they depart. Some don't only depart, they divide. And the last stage is divorce. Some people have left home, they say, leave, get out of my life, I don't want you anymore. Then they go and invite friends who divide. And the last word is divorce. There are some homes that they say, because of who we are, we don't want to divorce, but they have actually departed or they have divided. And many, many times, it is the point of difference. And it often happens in the first 5 years of marriage. The first 5 years, don't forget it. The first 5 years is the point of critical mass. First 5 years. Your spouse of the future has points of differences, yet values certain things which you hold similarly. In fact, as a result of those differences, you don't know how to negotiate around people. If I want to talk to my wife about someone, I already know my wife's track of thought. So I'll first deal with the track of thought and say, now, what I'm about to say, this is likely to be your reaction. However, before you react, listen to me carefully. This is why I have come to this conclusion. What it helps to do is that, first of all, I've been able to predict, and therefore I have been able to present in a way that is not offensive and does not deny the person the right to make a decision that is theirs. But if you do not know the other person and be able to predict and therefore present, you always have a challenge. You will recognize the person whom God has chosen for your life because they fill a void which even access to God will not take away. I don't care how much you love the Lord, He is not your husband. He's not your wife. I'm married to Jesus, Satan, leave me alone. Amen. Your God is not your husband. If you desire marriage, there is a kind of love you and God have. A husband can never give you. You must recognize both. I know how to relate to the man. But then the love of God is so deep, so rich, that no human thought, who remembers that song? The love of God is great and high than human hearts. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure. What? How measureless and strong and whatever. Those are some of those old church people, man. Praise God. You know, these days we're all into stomp. Now, once in a while, we need to go to those kind of songs. Love that will not let me go. That's the love of God. There is a dimension of love. There are depths of love that I may not know till I cross the narrow way. That's the love of God. But when it comes to the love between man and a woman, don't marry a man because you have eros between the two of you. There are four kinds of love. Storge, I'm giving you Greek now. Storge, eros, philo, agape. Philo is the general love you have for everybody. If you like to eat, you might kind of say you have philo for that food. It's the kind of love you have for everyone. Storge is passion. Being passionate about something. Some people are passionate about football. They sell their house to go watch World Cup. And come back to live somewhere. That's passion. You get the point. I love teaching. If you give me a crowd and the Bible and the subject, the crowd are in trouble because I might not let them go. That's my passion. So, storge is passion. Eros is the attraction towards the opposite sex. The attraction towards the opposite sex starts in girls from the age of, they used to say from the age of 16. No girl waits till 16 anymore. I was going to say 14, but I'm not sure anymore. Men are slower. Women start 2 years earlier when they are that age. The girl starts. But now things have changed. You don't even know where to say if the boys are anymore. You know, one time I went to teach somewhere, and I began to, as I was teaching, I was describing how people write romantic letters to each other. They say, when I am in the dark, you are my light. When life doesn't go right, you make it bright. And when I don't see clearly, you are my sight. And as I went on and on, at the end of it, a 9-year-old boy came to me and said, can I have that poem, sir? Person chosen for your life will celebrate your ambition in life. The failure to know your vision and calling will also result in the failure to receive the endorsement of your future partner. But the person chosen for your life will celebrate your ambition in life. When you meet the person and you tell them what you want to be, are they encouraging you to be or they are discouraging? Check their heart. Why are they saying no? If the person is saying no, listen, some men can't stand a strong woman. She says, I'm going to get an MBA because I want to work. I want to go for the executive jobs. I want to be one day the CEO of a £500 million business somewhere. I want to be the one managing it as the CEO of the company. And here he is. His ambition is, well, you know, somewhere, some do something. A strong man will see that the achievement of his wife, the success of his wife, is his own success. But in the same vein also, some women can't stand the success of their husband. They cannot take it. So the person chosen for your life will celebrate your ambition in life. So if she doesn't even want to go and study and work hard and attain to any level, but you have such a desire, she doesn't stop you. And she doesn't feel bad that you are climbing and rising in level. And the same thing for the man. Because you see, if a man has a poor self-image and you are rising and you are an executive, and today you are in Kuala Lumpur having to present a paper, the other day you are in Jakarta, another day you are in Caracas in Venezuela, another day you are, you know. And one day he rang you, and while he was talking to you, he heard some male voices in the background. I said, who are those people? Oh, you say they are my colleagues. We are here at the hotel presenting. You are in the hotel with someone, man? Very soon you shall tell me his room is next door to yours. He said, yes, actually our rooms are next door. I'm in room 241. He's in 242. He's my colleague at work. Your room is next door to another, man. Trouble. What am I trying to say? Life is about vision. It's about dreams. It's about wanting to be. It's about wanting to raise your children, living a happy life, finding fulfillment in Christ, building a godly home, building a future with a testimony. But it is very important for you to find the person who shares the dream you have, who sees the vision you see, so you can become whom God says you will both become. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You will recognize your future partner by the fact that your vision does not distract them or cause them to dread, but makes them desire and want to share the future with you. Your future spouse will even be looking for ways to encourage your purpose and make it happen. Encourage your purpose and make it happen. Encourage your purpose and make it happen. That is the right person. I told you when I was flying in this morning, I arrived 6 a.m. this morning from Africa. As I was flying in, the custom officer whom I went through something to declare, because I had 500 copies of Don't Date Devil, the CD. We produced it so that we can be able to give you as much discount. We produced it overseas. And as I went to this woman who is a custom officer, and she saw the title, Don't Date Devils, 15 Toxic Relationships. When she saw the word toxic, I think she probably thought I was Osama. She said, what is that? So I explained to her that in life, there are people you meet with the desire to marry. I said, I'm holding a seminar on relationships. And there are some relationships that are just poisonous. Some people end up courting a man, and at the end of the courtship was over, but the lady is damaged. Her psyche is damaged. Her person is damaged. She's not happy because the way he's treated her is like she is just junk. She's nobody, and she's very unhappy with herself. After I explained, she said, how about married people? I said, well, it applies to them. She said, how about those who are already in it? And then she began to tell me the story of her life. I've been married 33 years. This has happened. And I'm saying to myself, excuse me, Mrs. Custom Officer. I know this lady's in charge here, but shouldn't she tell me what VAT to pay so I can move on? But you see, people have needs. She's lived with the man 33 years. But one of the things she told me that really taught me was that the man recognized that she was a person who was stronger in many things. He's a phlegmatic man from the way she described him. But he encouraged her. He made sure that she was achieving in everything she did. She started as a VAT officer, a VAT inspector, and businesses dread VAT inspectors. From that, she became a customs officer. He encouraged her in everything she became. Listen, you are not a lesser man if your wife achieves. In fact, you are not a lesser man. You are not a lesser man if she achieves more, if she gets more accolades, as long as she recognizes that God gave the breakthrough and you all belong in the family. It's very important to recognize that. One of the greatest couples I've ever seen, and I wonder how they do it, is David and Joyce Meyer. He's there to stand by that woman. He's there to stand by that woman to make her vision happen. If he stands to preach, nobody will come. But I am very sure she doesn't have his administrative skill. When he met her, she thought he was joking when he wanted to marry her. Having been abused all her life, her father abused her. Cousins, nephews, everybody, everyone on earth abused her. She didn't believe any man on earth existed anymore who wanted her for love. So when he said, "I want to marry," she thought it was a joke, because he was raised in a pure, good, godly home. And then when her gift began to manifest, he was there for her. He kept encouraging her. So every day she would talk of the fact that she could never be anything because of a man who stood and made her vision happen. How many Joyce Meyers? How many Joyce Meyers are locked up somewhere in a home where the man recognized, this woman is gifted. If I let her loose, I will look less. I know Jesus said, "Woman, thou art loosed." But this one, "Thou art bound." So, you must recognize that the person who comes into your life either makes you or breaks you. They add to you or subtract from you. They give you what you are to become, or they take away from what you are supposed to be. So you've got to recognize the purpose of God for your life. You will recognize your future partner by the fact that your vision does not distract or cause them to dread. So this woman's vision, she's probably the most watched around the world. They love her in Muslim countries. I went to eat with a group of people one time here in London, and a Hindu family, very wealthy, came to eat there. And, they watched me. But then the lady began to say, "And I watch Joyce Meyer every day." She could tell they are Hindu, they are not saved. But she watches Joyce Meyer every day. Why? Because there was a husband who was behind her to make her and her vision happen. That's the kind of man you need in your life. Oh, okay, let the lady say amen now. In the case where you have children, your future partner does not only tolerate the presence of your children, but treats them as his or hers. This is very key. Please, if you have children, don't just fall in love. You need to get these books. One of the subjects there is 43 challenges of a blended marriage. What is a blended marriage? A blended marriage is when a man with children and a woman with children meet each other, come into the relationship with their children. In some cases, maybe only the children of the woman lives with them. And in some cases, only the children of the man. However, please, if you have children and you fall in love, you are not the only one to fall into this love. Your children must fall into it too. Amen. Or else you have to hold on. Please, I beg you, by the mercies of God, do not go on to the altar in marriage until your children see it. I am talking to you from experience as a pastor, as I deal with this regularly. Children have been hurt. Sometimes children could be selfish because they feel, "You want to marry what? But you have us." And the children don't realize, "Yes, I have you, but I need a husband, man. I need a wife." But the children think, "No, why should you need a husband? Aren't we enough? We're a family. You want to spoil this thing and bring a man here." And they don't know that you're trying to be strong for them. They don't know what happens behind closed doors. When you shut the door and you are alone, they don't see your tears and your pain. However, Even though they don't see your tears and your pain, there could be a way to carry them along by letting them know that your life in a way has been in suspense because of whatever happened in the past. And please, until you are very sure the man is the man, don't bring him home. You don't want your children to meet Uncle Albert, and then Uncle Gilbert, then Wilbert, then Hubert, Egbert, and there's no birth control. You want to be sure, you want to go very far to some level where it has gone beyond dates to at least some kind of courtship. And the church now knows. I was going to teach in this session on where we stand on preparing people for marriage. One of the ladies I'm looking at asked me, Pastor, wouldn't you teach on how to prepare for marriage? I really wanted to teach it in this session, but because of time, I couldn't. I guess in one of the single seminars we'll be holding during the months, I will do it. However, in the cause of your courting him, you need to let the church know on time. Please, 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 don't go into any courtship which one person wants you to hide it. The church has got to know on time. The church is your spiritual parent. Your pastor is your spiritual parent. And if he wants you to hide it from there, he says, we are adults. Oh, really? The church needs to know on time. However, we're talking here about people who have children. Let the children be carried along. Let the children know. Find a way to sit down with them and say, look, I have not been happy. I have found someone I feel can complete my life and bring the happiness I lack. I have talked to him. He desires to be a father to you. And I want you to give him a chance. Because some of those children, you've got to tell them, give him a chance. Because obviously, with some of those people who have children, their children still go to see the father. And some men are just not doing the right thing. And forgive me for continuing to say some men, some men, some men. Some women too. She doesn't want the guy. And yet she doesn't like any good thing happening for him. What is your dad after this time? Is any woman visiting him? Is he seeing another woman? And if the children say, and there's a lady who dad have introduced to us, it seems like something is working out, they might get married. She begins to make phone calls. Allah, and if she hears the other lady at home, I don't want to talk to you, I'll have to talk to Joe. Tell him his ex-wife is here. I want to talk to him. And he's got to take my call now. Excuse me? It's over. What part of over don't you understand? Is it the O or the V? It's a very voluminous and major part of this subject I should have taught, but there's no time. If you have children, just don't get the tapes on the various teachings I've done along with this book, because particularly in this pack, I think we have some of the tapes in the pack or something. Just get the book and get the tapes and really let it challenge your life and change your life and minister to you in a special way. In the case where you have children, your future partner does not only tolerate the presence of your children, but you must treat them as his or hers. If you have girls, be sure the guy is saved. 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 And if you have boys, you let your record. Listen, ladies, if you have children, you met a man, he's ready to marry you and take the children. If he takes the line of discipline, you don't come between him and the children. His style may be different. Agree modality of discipline before it starts. The modality of discipline which is workable in any place, I want you to know is that children somehow don't quite listen to mothers too much. They listen to a level. But let a man just walk in. If he's the head of that house, just the mere mention of his name, everybody comes to attention. He doesn't need to raise his voice. I mean, my wife is always, you haven't done this, you haven't done that. I have no time for that. So, hey! When I was a little boy, I didn't even need to hear, hey. My dad was just, I mean, it was those days when what they call abuse now, they call discipline. Today it is called abuse. If my dad beat you, you see the stars and hear the rolling thunder. His power throughout your body displayed. In a way, we thank God for those beatings. Imagine what we became even with the beating. Now you deduct the beating. What we would have been, wilder than wild. Thank God for Jesus. Have you received something from this session? Give God praise. How many are you really have received from today's teaching? Let me see your hand. All right, praise God. Let's just do 5 more minutes and take another break. We have 2 more sessions to go. We'll do that, don't they, devil? Don't worry. Be happy. Your future partner will put a value to your life as Christ values the church. As the church values and submits to Christ. Excuse me, lady, a person who will not value his mother or father and honor them may be a source of trouble for your future. Watch a woman how she treats her dad and her brothers. That's how she's going to treat you as a husband. If she loves her dad and loves her brothers, yeah, if you have issues with your dad, how have you been treating your pastor? Because you should find a father. If you have not had a natural father who cared, then you should have somehow built a fatherly relationship with your spiritual parent. Very important. And it's not enough to just say, ah, so-and-so is my spiritual father. That's just lingo. Where is the proof? Because everybody claims, ah, Pastor Matthew is my spiritual father. I know my children. Praise God. What I'm trying to say is we take a lot from our parent. We take a lot. So watch the lady. How does she relate to her brothers and her father? It will determine how she relates to you. If she has issues, serious issues with her dad, and she hasn't brought it to the altar. For example, excuse me, everyone who is within the reach of my voice, don't get married until you have forgiven your parent. Don't only forgive them, build bridges. Don't say, what did you say? Do you know what he did to me? I don't care. The key to long life is respect for your parent. The Bible says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be what? You cannot live long if you don't honor your father and mother. It's just a principle of scripture. It's the key to longevity. It is a principle that cannot be eradicated or violated. But then watch the man. How does he relate to his mother? How does he relate to his sister? I'm not talking of overloving. I'm not talking of the one who's still tied to his mother's apron string, who we call the eternal child, who has not left home, who jumps every time mother calls. I'm talking of the one who really loves his mom in a genuine and positive way, loves his sister, then he has the right heart to love you the rest of your life. Praise God. You will recognize the person you will need to share your life with by the way they treat and relate to their superiors, their bosses, and church authority. Does he eat your pastor for breakfast, and the deacons for lunch, and departmental leaders for dinner? He's not your husband. Anyone who disregards authority, the Bible says, the rebellious dwell in deserts. You are courting him, and every time you go out to eat, he's breaking all the lights, he's going through the red lights, going through the red lights. That's the one you saw. How about the ones you didn't see? You see, the things we are ready to do in the presence of other people is you just magnify it times 10. Did you hear me? Yeah. What people are willing to do or ready to do in the presence of other people, you multiply it by 10. It drives through red lights and breaks other laws, you know. Parks on double yellow line, drives on bus route all the time. May God forgive. Because I can see some of you, your face just turned, oh Jesus. Guess what? Our time is gone.